This morning on Journey to Wellness in Indian Country. Journey to Wellness, by the way, funded in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We're talking a little bit about the idea of compensatory education funds with the Duluth Public School District, how they've been spent in the past, what some new ideas are about spending them in the future, and what kind of an effect that has on Indian Country right here in the Northland. Dr. Mary Owen is a member of the Education Equity Alliance and the Duluth Indigenous Commission. She joins us this morning on the phone to tell us a little bit more about the topic. Hey, Mary, good morning.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
So what are compensatory education funds, in case folks aren't aware of exactly what that means?
Well, they're funds that are allocated by state statute to schools for the number, according to the number of kids who receive free and or reduced lunches. It's to attack that age-old problem of the connection between poverty and education, just like poverty and health. We know that that's part of the problem. Kids with from impoverished backgrounds don't have the same resources and often have more stress in their lives and just aren't able to have the same abilities because of those issues when it comes to their education. You can see statistics that show that the kids who are from more impoverished areas tend to do lower on achievement scales.
So the school district had one method in mind of spending those monies in the past, and they've recently decided to institute a change. But talk about how the school district was spending those monies previously.
Well, the school district, out of desperation because they didn't have enough funding, was using those monies to help lower class sizes throughout the district, which on itself sounds like not a bad idea for everybody. The problem is some schools are more affected by poverty. Some kids, some communities are more affected by poverty, and it becomes an issue of something called equity versus equality. And equality doesn't recognize that certain groups of folks come from backgrounds where they don't have the same, they're not at the same level playing field. So they were using those monies in an inequitable way to lower the class size throughout the district. And for instance, schools like they were depositing the monies equally throughout the school district, even though there were far greater number of kids who were on free and reduced lunches on the west side. And people will complain about it being east versus west, but this is the way the numbers fell out than kids on the east side. So east side schools were getting far greater amounts of money than their population dictated, if that makes sense.
Right. So the idea was that the schools, each building gets to keep 80% of the compensatory education that they generate. So, for example, if a school on the west side generates more money, they get to keep that. If a school on the east side generates less money, they get to keep that. But there's something else that they're proposing, and that has to do with leadership teams that are kind of on the ground there at the schools, continuous improvement teams, and they kind of get to decide where the other amount of that money, where the rest of that money gets spent. Talk about how this plan looks to you.
There's two pieces to that. One, in a recent school board decision, they had three different options for budgets, and the option for the budget they took was option C, which allocates 10% of that 80% now for each school to use as staffing money. So it's not the full 80% any longer, just for compensatory education. So that's a big deal. And I do want to call out board member Sally Trinka, Nora Sansed, and Jill Lawfold actually voted to keep the resolution to stick to what they had intended from the original resolution, which is to keep 80% at each school for compensatory education. The other piece to that is yes, these monies are compensatory education funding. The monies are spent according to plans written up by each school, which are generally dictated by these CITs. Teams. And one of the concerns of the Education Equity Alliance, as well as other groups, including the Community-Based School Equity Initiative at Denfeld and NAACP and Duluth Indigenous Commission, is that those we need to see a plan, as is mandated in the state statute. We need to see a plan on how they're going to address educational disparities with these monies. And we haven't ever seen that, and that's what we're pushing for now.
So talk a little bit about how this whole idea of where the money gets spent, about equality versus equity, about the new plan that the school district is trying to hammer out. How do these issues get down to effects on Native families in our community?
Native families, African-American families, people of color in general are overrepresented in populations of impoverished communities. So those, if we don't have those monies being spent on programs to address these communities, then we're never going to be seeing a change in these educational disparities. So that's the bottom line. And these disparities are not new. They've been in this community for far greater than 20 years. People like Sharon Witherspoon, Cruz Mendoza, and others have been fighting to change that for over 20 years. So this is just, this resolution passing is that passed in January to get the 80% of the compensatory funds back where they belong, with 5% incremental increases over each year till we get to 95, is just a start. You have to have programming that's intentional to change those educational disparities, and that is not currently present. And as far as the school trying a new initiative, it's called Community Schools. And it's interesting because Community Schools is based on community participation, and yet how many people know that it's even out there, that the school board is planning it? I haven't heard anybody talking about it, and I'm very well aware of what's going on with education in our community. So I think that the school board is a new board that is moving in the right direction, but our school administration really needs to be dragged in front of the community and give us the plans, tell us what they're doing to change these educational disparities, and give us some true accountability measures. Lisa, can I say one other thing that we're working on to achieve this?
Absolutely.
So the Education Equity Alliance is a group of people from the Duluth Indigenous Commission, the NAACP, this community-based school equity initiative from Denfield, and Human Rights Commission, several different groups, as well as community members who are concerned about these educational disparities that have gone on for so long. The latest thing that we're working on is that the school district is about to hire a new assistant superintendent and someone to head their curriculum. It is imperative that on the committee to hire these folks, we have community representation from these communities of color as well as impoverished community. I don't think that we can truly say that they're making intentional change without getting some representation by us on that hiring committee to make sure that this person is in line.
Mary, if folks are interested, you know, perhaps they'd like to get involved more. They'd maybe like to sit on the committee. They'd like to be in touch with the Education Equity Alliance. What's the best way to reach you folks? Do you have a Facebook page or a web page?
We don't yet. People can contact me at risk of being bombarded at mary@croomowen.org. I'm taking all the people. I'm receiving all the interests right now, and our group meets at Peace Church every second Saturday, every other Saturday. We just met this week, so it'll be another 2 weeks at 3 p.m.
All right, and
we'll meet for a couple hours.
We'll get your email address up on our website so that folks can get in touch with you. Mary, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for hosting this, Lisa.
Mary Owen joined us this morning as our guest for Journey to Wellness in Indian Country. Journey to Wellness on KUMD is funded in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.